Thanks, Monia. I'm Jing Chen from CMU. This is a joint work by CMU, UC Berkeley, Conviva, and Databricks. So let me first spend 1 minute to walk you through the problem. The problem I'm working on is using prediction to achieve dramatic improvement on video quality. However, it turns out that predicting video quality is extremely challenging because video quality really depends on the whole end-to-end delivery system. It is affected by complex and dynamic combinations of client-side features, device features, network features, server-side features, and application-specific features. Now, in general, this problem seems inherently intractable, but in this talk, we address this problem by leveraging video-specific insight, which is that video quality is determined by a small subset of critical features, and these critical features are persistent over time. And we present a concrete technique called CFA, which really utilizes this insight to improve video quality. Looking beyond video quality, I also believe the insight I present in this talk can be potentially applied to improve other network performance. And the two key takeaways are, prediction can lead to dramatic performance improvement, and the key enabler to build a practical prediction system is the persistence of critical features. Now let's go back to the theme of this talk, prediction for video. Maintaining high video quality is critical for content providers, and it has been shown that on many video quality metrics, such as average bitrate and buffering ratio, the better the video quality is, the more satisfied users are, and the longer they watch the content, and the more revenues the content providers can make. So video quality is important, and many studies have suggested there's a huge room of improvement on video quality. For instance, 40% of video sessions suffer from low average bitrate on one of the popular video sites. To improve video quality, prior efforts had made a case for a centralized control plane. The motivation is that optimizing video quality really depends on where you can find the best configuration for each client, for instance, from which CDN in which bitrate to stream the content. However, making these decisions based on local information is too slow to explore the decision space because it's very hard to infer the quality before actually trying it. In contrast, a centralized control plane takes advantage of all the video clients and makes these decisions based on the quality measure from all historical and concurrent sessions. Now, this real-time global network view allows us to build a prediction oracle which can answer what-if questions, like what the quality would be if I were to use certain CDN and bitrate. This seems a very promising approach, because in theory, we can always find the best configuration by querying this prediction oracle. And in fact, I've been shown that having this prediction oracle can lead to potentially lead to dramatic performance on video quality metrics. So despite the huge potential of this centralized control plane, there's a key missing piece in this picture, which is how to actually build a prediction oracle like this. In this talk, we present CFA, a practical prediction system for video quality. Let's first formulate the problem the CFA is addressing, which is the video quality prediction, and see why this problem itself is so challenging. On a high level, a prediction system uses the quality measure from many video sessions and use this quality measurement to build a prediction model and use the prediction model to predict the quality of new coming sessions. Now, in this context, there are two challenges. First, there are complex factors affecting video quality. So the prediction model really needs to be expressive enough to capture these complex factors. Second, the video quality actually changes rapidly over time, which means the prediction system must refresh its prediction in near real time. Now, let's take a closer look at these two challenges. Here's a real-world example to illustrate the first challenge on complex relations between video quality and features. Now, let's consider video sessions with a vector of features like this, and their quality is bad, and we want to know which feature is most correlated to this quality issue. Now, we also see other good quality sessions sharing all the same feature, but in different cities, which seems to suggest that the quality issue is caused by feature city. But things are not so simple, because we also see other good quality sessions in the same city, but subscribed to different ISPs. So both feature ISP and city are causing the quality issue. And to make it even more complex, we also see other good quality sessions sharing all the same feature but use different CDNs. So therefore, what's really causing this quality issue is the combination of these three features, CDN, ISP, and CD in this example. Now, if you think of these feature combinations to be static, why don't we just learn these critical features offline and from a large data set and use it in real time? This is not a good solution because the feature combinations that affect video quality really change across time and change across client. For instance, at the same time, two clients may have different combinations of quality determining features. And also for the same kind of client, they may have different combinations of quality determining features at different point of time, which by the way is also called model drifting in ML literature. So the prediction model really has to capture this combinational effect of features on video quality, as well as the spatial and temporal variance of such feature interactions. Second, video quality really changed rapidly over time. Now, this figure shows when the data, when using data of certain staleness, which is the x-axis, what will be the increase on prediction accuracy when you use standard prediction algorithms. The lower the prediction, the lower the prediction error is, the better. We can see that using more fresh data, preferably within 1 minute history, leads to dramatically higher prediction accuracy, which means using fresh quality measurement is critical. Now let's summarize these two challenges in this graph. On one hand, to capture the quality dynamics, the prediction system really has to update itself very frequently. On the other hand, to capture the complex relations between video quality and features, the model must be highly expressive. Now, ideally, we want to have a solution to achieve both requirements. Now, one extreme, we have like simple ML techniques like naive Bayes decision tree. They can run very fast, but they are not expressive enough to capture complex factors. On the other hand, on other extreme, we have complex machine learning techniques, such as variable kernel algorithms. They are highly expressive, but not fast enough to capture the quality, the dynamics of quality. And often, these complex machine learning techniques are not interpretable, which turned out to be one of the reasons that domain experts are reluctant to adopt them. And we don't claim that no ML techniques can meet both requirements, but for all the techniques we have tried, they fall into either category. Our solution is CFA. It addresses both challenges by domain-specific insights. Next, I will present how CFA achieves this. Here is the basic workflow of CFA. To predict the quality of a session S, CFA first finds similar historical sessions with observed quality and estimate this quality by the mean or median of these similar sessions. Now, obviously, the key of this workflow is how to find similar sessions. The basic insight to find similar sessions is that sessions with similar feature values in short period of time should have similar quality. So a natural straw man is to find historical sessions that in the last minute before the prediction that match on all features with the session you want to predict. This straw man is accurate, but obviously it's not reliable because of the curse of dimensionality. Basically, it's very hard to find sessions matching on all features in 1 minute. To motivate how CFA finds similar sessions, let's consider this time series of quality. The y-axis is the quality of sessions matching values on all features. The quality matrix is failure rate. And the Strawman algorithm says that to predict the quality of a session S here, we should look back on this time series for 1 minute and find the similar sessions in that time period. However, it won't always find enough sessions to make reliable prediction. In contrast, CFA makes accurate and reliable prediction by leveraging critical features. Now, if we imagine video sessions as a function of feature values, the critical features are really the subset of features whose value ultimately determines video quality. What it really means is that if we look at sessions matching on critical features, say, the quality is shown by red line. The quality is really very similar to the quality of sessions matching on all features, if you have it. And since the red line ignores non-critical features, the prediction will be based on more similar sessions and thus more reliable. So if we have critical features for any given session, CFA can predict quality both accurately and reliably. Right? But the question is where to get these critical features for any given session at any time point. Hypothetically, if we know the ground truth quality when all features are specified, say the blue line here, we can check all feature combinations in the last minute before the prediction, and the critical feature will naturally lead to similar quality to the ground truth, which is a red line, and non-critical features will naturally lead to very different values, such as the purple line. However, we don't always have enough data to construct the ground truth quality in each minute. In fact, if we do, there's no need for critical features at the first place. Now, this creates a circular chicken egg problem. We use the critical features to avoid the curse of dimensionality, but learning critical features again suffers the same problem curse of dimensionality. The insight to break this circular problem is that the critical features are persistent, typically lasting for tens of minutes and hours. Now, such persistency may seem contradictive to the dynamics of video quality that I mentioned before, but it's really not. The intuition is that although video quality changes rapidly over time, the underlying critical features that determine the video quality do not change so often. Okay. Now, this insight allows us to learn critical features over a long period of time, say every hour. And with more historical data, we can now construct the ground truth and learn the critical features. So to summarize, CFA uses two different strategies to get enough data for predicting quality and learning critical features. Now, on one hand, CFA uses spatial aggregation in short history to find enough data for quality prediction by ignoring non-critical features. This is because quality is highly dynamic, but really only depend on a small subset of features. On the other hand, CFA uses temporal aggregation to get enough data to train critical features because critical features are persistent over time. Now, the workflow seems complete. We first learn critical features and use critical features to find similar sessions. But to capture quality dynamics, okay, the whole workflow must run very fast. Now, estimating quality can be very fast because it only involves a small subset of sessions matching on critical features in short history. However, learning critical features will take a long time. It typically takes tens of minutes because it has to process the data over a long period of time, and it has to explore a large space of possible feature combinations. This becomes a bottleneck because if you run two steps sequentially, we can only update the quality, say, every half an hour or 30 minutes. This is way too slow. Ideally, we want to update the prediction every, say, 30 seconds. Now, a very natural engineering solution here is to decouple the workflow into two parts, a slow pass to train critical features every 30 minutes, and a fast pass to update quality estimation every 30 seconds. In general, such decoupling would sacrifice the freshness of result in the slow pass. But here, we're not actually losing anything because the critical features that we learn naturally persist over a time scale of tens of minutes. Now, to put everything together, we implement CFA on top of C3, which is a global control platform for video. And C3 has a centralized backend that has information of all video clients and several geo-distributed front end that are closer to the clients. The integration has three parts. CFA learns critical features and update quality estimation at the back end, and update the quality estimation every 30 seconds and push them to the front-end servers. And finally, in real time, the front-end servers pick the best CDN and bitrate of the best predicted quality and return them to the clients in real time. Finally, evaluation. We test the CFA in real world by A/B testing on one of the popular content providers, which uses three CDNs and six levels of bitrate. So basically, each video client has 18 potential configurations. We compare CFA with a baseline random bitrate CDN selection strategy, and you can see the CFA achieve lower buffering ratio on the left-hand side and higher average bitrate on the right-hand side. I can't directly put a dollar sign on this, but according to domain experts, although these numbers seem marginal, they are really impressive improvement on video quality. And besides, in this test run, CFA only makes initial bitrate CDN selection. So the real potential of CFA would be much larger if CFA is able to select CDN and bitrate during a session, which is totally possible. And we also compare CFA with some Stroman prediction algorithms, such as decision tree naive and k-nearest neighbors. And we can see that compared with the most accurate Stroman prediction algorithms, CFA is able to predict quality with less error, shown on the left-hand side, and make more accurate and making more accurate prediction allows CFA to achieve better quality, which is on the right-hand side. In the paper, we'll have more evaluation on many more quality metrics. So to conclude this talk, our thesis is that prediction can lead to dramatic improvement on video quality. Okay. However, predicting video quality is extremely challenging because the features affecting video quality are heterogeneous, complex, and dynamic. Now, luckily, we can leverage the insight in this video domain. The video quality is affected by a small subset of critical features, and these critical features are persistent over time. And we also present a concrete technique called CFA that is built around this insight and show that CFA achieves dramatic improvement on video quality. Looking beyond video quality, I believe that the insight I presented in this talk have potential applicability to improve other network performance metrics. Now, if you forget most of my talk, which is possible, here are two key takeaways I really like you to remember, okay? The prediction can potentially lead to dramatic performance improvement. And two, the key enabler to build a practical prediction system is the persistence of critical features. Thank you. I'm ready to take questions.
Hi, Daniel Eisenberg from Google. I'm curious about the dynamics of the persistent critical features, sort of, you know, I mean, from tens of minutes to hours is big, and also whether synchronized events, say the Super Bowl begins, can invalidate all your critical features at once because suddenly, you know, at a time when traffic might spike or the traffic pattern might change and you need performance the most, your critical features also go out the window.
That's a good question. So basically you're asking, what if the critical feature are not lasting so long, right? So that's entirely right. So when I say the critical feature lasts for tens of minutes to hours, that's a normal case. There are definitely cases where you have a sudden spike, and to capture that spike, the critical feature are not lasting so long, right? That's entirely possible. So this is not to say every critical feature is lasting like that time scale. And I acknowledge that there is cases where this algorithm will completely missed because the assumption is that critical features last for a long time and that yields good results, at least.
Thanks.
Hi, Srinivas from Princeton. Cool talk. I might have missed this, but is there an underlying reason why these features are actually persistent? Like, in some sense, like, is there some, like, maybe it's some properties of the interdomain route, or, I mean, I don't really know, but have you guys figured out why they're actually persistent?
That's a really good question. The insight in this paper is mostly based on the data set we have. So we're confined by the visibility of the data set. So from the visibility of this data set, it's very hard to infer like something that's not directly visible from data. So for example, inter-domain traffic routing problem, right? So the data we have is end-to-end. So we can infer some kind of in-network performance issues, but that's not directly confirmable, right? Okay, and the other part of the question is there any underlying reason, right? So when you think about performance fluctuation, right? So for example, the performance fluctuation is caused by some overloaded server. Now, if the server is overloaded, the quality will change rapidly over time because you may have sudden worse and slightly better quality and then worse quality over time. But the reason behind it is the overloaded server. So that's why, that's the underlying reason why critical features may persist for a long time because the reason is the same.
Okay, thanks.
Hi, Manu Bansal from Stanford. So kind of a related question to what was asked before. Are there regions in these feature spaces where you can say that these are going to be the dominant factors and kind of say that for different valuations of these features? Is there some structure to when does a feature become critical?
Can ask
so, for example, if you're, let's say, mm-hmm. seeing certain number of flows all going to a certain CDN, you mm-hmm. kind of can start to say that the CDN is a critical feature at this point. Mm-hmm. So you have some insight into picking the features instead of just trying to learn it from the data itself.
Oh, that's a good point. So for now, the algorithm is totally data-driven. Okay, and you're saying if we can have some insight from the CDN side, if they tell us there's a server issue, and regional overloading issue, how can we include that, incorporate it into the CFA algorithm? Is that what you're asking?
Even just with the values that you're actually seeing, so you have a few features that you're able to monitor, and mm-hmm. maybe there are regions in the valuations of this multidimensional space where you can say one is a dominant feature in this particular valuation set, and if you look at another subspace, then another feature becomes dominant in that space.
Yeah, that's totally possible. Yeah, if you run this algorithm in real time, and it's very possible that they can see from in this area the critical features are CDN, and that area, actually for other clients, the critical features are the device, because the bitrate is encoded as a function of the player, right? So there will be very different critical features you'll find at the same time even.
Just a quick question also, have you considered applying this to mobile links at all, where the link is probably varying much faster than 30 seconds?
I believe in the data set, we already have some mobile users in this experiment. So we don't have, so I don't think that there's an immediate plan to deploy it direct for mobile users. But you're right, definitely if we applied it for mobile users, it would be even more challenging than the case that I'm presenting here, because the quality is changing rapidly and the link is very unstable.
Okay.
Sure. Thank you.